Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program. Phones open here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris. We're talking about some questionable protest tactics, specifically the people who, well, the most recent example are some restaurants in New York City. One of them was an Applebee's. Another one is a Cheesecake Factory in Queens, New York, where people have been arrested now for trying to go in and eat without vaccine passports. Now, the interesting detail here is that they weren't arrested for not having a vaccine passport. They were arrested for criminal trespass. And that's a much more defensible legal position, number one, because if you arrest somebody for not having a vaccine passport, then they can challenge the vaccine passport to some extent in the court here.
Yeah.
But if the arrest is just because, well, Cheesecake Factory told you to leave, you didn't leave, therefore criminal trespass, that's an age-old, you know, thing, right? Like, criminal trespass has been on the books for, you know, forever,
yeah.
And it's a tried-and-true situation. You're going to get convicted in that case.
And see, I don't even think that this is, like, if you're going to do this, right, if you're going to do that sort of activism, like, break the law, right, at least don't, like, deny the fact that you're breaking the law. Like, I'm not saying admit to it, but you know, it just sounds really dumb.
When you're referring to the video that we have not played on the air. Can you summarize what
sure,
you're referring
yeah.
to?
So in the one video that was being played,
this is from the Cheesecake Factory
that hasn't been played.
Right. It's too dumb to play it on the air.
It is
awful.
It's really dumb. But this is, and it's not this video specifically necessarily, but like this is what happens so often. It's like people will go and they'll do some sort of like activism kind of thing, but they have no idea what the law is,
yeah.
And then they'll like deny that the law exists or
ridiculous
right.
assertions about what they think the
right.
law actually is.
And it's fine to break the law. That's civil disobedience.
Good people break bad
right.
laws.
Right. The problem is that when you start denying that the law exists, right, and we all know it exists, you look really dumb to your average person. And it's just not, you know, come out and be like, hey, I'm doing this for activism, right? It's not, and this is the thing that always gets me, too. Oftentimes, there's, like, these videos on YouTube that reviews whether or not this was, like, legal and stuff. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, the person who is breaking the law, that's the activist, doesn't actually say that they're not breaking the law. And then it's like, well, okay, yeah, he was doing something that was illegal, but he was committing civil disobedience, right, for a reason. So
right.
to then say, well, he was wrong, no, he wasn't. He was morally right.
Correct. And those people do their research, right? When you're going to do civil disobedience,
yeah.
you need to know what the law is that you're breaking.
Right.
You need to know what they could potentially do to you. You need to research other people who've been arrested for the same thing. Get some idea of what the potential punishment is going to be. What's a realistic thing that's going to happen to you if you push this thing all the way? Now, I brought up the co-op situation here in Keene, New Hampshire, and if you haven't seen the video, it's really entertaining. Highly recommend it. Go check the Free Keene Odyssey channel out and search for co-op or whatever, mask co-op, whatever. That'll bring it up, I'm sure. If not, check the freekeen.com blog from March 15th earlier this year, and it's there. But that situation, those people did know what they were getting into, and they all left when they were told to leave. There wasn't a single arrest at that particular event, even though there were 15 people who went into this place. Now, to the credit of the co-op, they did serve them. The co-op did not force them to leave the premises without, like, buying the products that they'd come in to get. So they did actually serve them, which was interesting. I wasn't sure if they were or they weren't going to do that. So they did.
That is really interesting that they did, that they actually let them check out.
One of the managers gave them a hard time, but then again, Frank is also a pretty loud guy. So there was a bit of a conflict in there. It made for some interesting video, but ultimately, everyone who came up to the front with groceries was able to check out and leave the store. and they were told, you know, some of them who maybe they weren't buying something or whatever were told, you know, they were asked to leave, and they left. When the cops showed up, everybody got off the property, so no one got arrested. Whereas in this Cheesecake Factory video, New York Police Department gets called in because a group of people tried to enter the Cheesecake Factory without vaccine passports, and I'm against the vaccine passport, no doubt about it, but I feel for the business owners who feel like they are being told that they have to enforce this thing that they may not be interested in enforcing, that they're not being paid to enforce. And even if they were being paid, they still aren't interested in it because they want to have as many customers in their business as possible. But unfortunately, most business owners are afraid. They're deathly afraid of what the state will do to them. And so, it's like, I don't want to force my business on somebody that doesn't want it. Even if the only reason they don't want it is because they're afraid of what the government's going to do to them, I don't want to give that person my business. So, I don't understand these people and their viewpoint, but I'm going to summarize what they were saying for you in the video that we were watching. Essentially, they're arguing with the police. The police are telling them, hey, look, you've been asked to leave. Now, we haven't told you to leave yet, so we're not going to arrest you yet. But if we tell you to leave and you don't leave, then we're going to arrest you for criminal trespass. And there's some loudmouth New York guy who's in, you know, who's one of the protesters there. And he's like, well, that's illegal. That would be an illegal arrest. And you can't do that because we, it's the members of the public. This business is open to the public and we have a right to be here. No.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, so this is New York, right?
New York City, Queens.
I'm just wondering in the back of my head here. Is there a law? Because I there's certain discrimination, anti-discrimination laws and things of that nature. Is there some sort of argument that it'd be illegal under some anti-discrimination? Because that's the only thing I can think of.
The reason
that
why
it wasn't
is because a medical situation is not covered under that.
Okay.
So they cover things like
I know, like at the national level, it's not. But I'm just thinking, like, is New York? Is there some sort of exception within New York's own law? That's what I'm wondering.
Because
that's the only thing that would make any sense. I don't think that's what the case is. No. I'm just thinking, like, that's the only thing that would make any sense where he's saying that and he's right, maybe. I'm super doubtful of that.
I wouldn't be surprised if New York City made it to where you have to serve anybody that comes in through your door or else you're a bigot.
I mean, they passed the law where they, I think anyway, that you have to accept cash, for example, right? So, like, it's sort of like one of these things where it's like...
It could be if it were New York City. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But no. That, to my knowledge, does not exist anywhere. The discrimination laws are specific categories.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's around how you're born or a sexual gender kind of thing. That's usually it. So medical decisions are generally considered something you can discriminate against, especially when the government tells you you have to.
Right.
So anyway, the loudmouth in the group is like, well, this is illegal. You can't do this to us. Well, guess what? They did do it to you. You did get arrested for criminal trespass in this case. And again, it's like, why would you want to be in a business who doesn't want you there?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. That's what I didn't go. I went the day of the co-op and I didn't go inside either. I never shopped there before, and I also wasn't interested in shopping there because why would I want to give money to people that don't want me there?
On the one hand, I think this is like a really great way to protest the government, but at the same time, it's like I would like there to be a business that was, you were doing it at a business where like the owner was in support of it, you know?
There must be those businesses.
Why don't people just do it at the government buildings like JOA does?
Yeah, that would be another solution. I think that would be okay. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's you know, you're being forced to pay for it. So, yeah, it's your building, you know?
After some back and forth, according to Patch.com, police began escorting protesters who refused to leave out of the restaurant as people shouted that the police were Nazis and they were enforcing segregation. And they are.
Oh, yeah.
That's absolutely true. The protests have been called a sit-in in reference to civil rights protests in the 1960s. New York police did not respond to Patch's inquiry regarding how the agency responds to the comparison between officers and Nazis or the comparison of the protests to civil rights sit-ins.
Well, these protesters' first mistake is living in
New York City. Yeah.
If they really want to be free, they should just leave New York City first and foremost.
Well, I don't necessarily know they want to be free, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, these people are probably not liberty-minded people. They're just,
and I'm not saying they should move to New Hampshire. Maybe they belong somewhere like Texas, though, where you can go out anywhere you want without having the vaccine.
The number here is 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on this. And now, it is interesting comparing this to the sit-ins, and I'm curious as to how the sit-ins might have differed from this situation as well, because I wasn't around at that time. So we can continue here, and your thoughts are welcome on Free.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
60. We're talking about these people being arrested at a Cheesecake Factory in New York City. Another group of people arrested at the Applebee's, one of the Applebee's in New York City, where, of course, as you probably know, they're requiring vaccine passports in order to allow people to go out to eat inside restaurants. And these people are comparing themselves to the sit-in movements in the civil rights days from, you know, I don't know, 60 years ago, I think, at this point. Something like that. So is that an apt comparison? And that's what I want to dig a little bit further into here. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Got Bonnie.
And Chris. And by the way, Free Talk Live is doing a little bit of charitable work here this holiday season. We're raising funds for Give Directly. And it's an interesting nonprofit, the very first, that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. We're talking about people that have to walk 5 miles to get potable water, for instance. I mean, we're talking about very, very poor people in places like Kilifi and Bemet counties in Kenya, people in dire need of assistance. The folks over at Give Directly locate recipients who are in need, and they use mobile money to send them cash, no strings attached. And in the decade that has passed, they have delivered over $400 million to over 1 million people. And research shows that giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. And in addition, cash allows people to invest in what they need instead of relying on aid organizations and donors thousands of miles away choosing for them. So if that's what you prefer, we agree, and we are matching your donations to Give Directly up to a total of $30,000 here this holiday season, and maybe beyond that. But for right now, get on over to give.freetalklive.com, and you can help those folks out, and it helps a lot. Give.freetalklive.com. As we go to your calls and thoughts, and I want to get back into this question about these protests at restaurants that are happening now. Are they tantamount to what happened in the civil rights movement 60 or so years ago? That's what I want to know. And if you, you know, want to weigh in on this, you're welcome to. But David is in New Mexico. What's on your mind tonight, David?
What you're talking about. And send that money to New Mexico. I've walked 5 miles to get fresh water many times.
I don't think you're starving, David, but go ahead.
I'm not starving, but I was out of water and walked 5 miles multiple times to get fresh water until it rained again and I could get it off the ground. So send that money in New Mexico. There's Woolworths telling FCC legal here N-words to get the F off of our lunch counter is, and in basic legal terms, the exact same thing as what this is, because what they have in common is the N-words sitting at the lunch counter said, hey, you're telling us we're trespassing and you want us to leave because you're enforcing an illegal law, an unlawful law. And this is essentially the same thing, because the only effing reason, FCC legal, that this Applebee's or Cheesecake Factory is telling these people that they don't want their business and they're trespassing them is because they are responding only to an unlawful law. And they are, whether you like existing law or not, they are a public accommodation, a legal term. And if you exercise the rights and privileges under existing law, whether you like the existing law or not, to be a public accommodation, you do not have the right to refuse service to anyone you damn well please. You have to have a lawful reason. And enforcing an illegal law is not a lawful reason.
How's a law illegal? That doesn't really make sense.
Oh, is a law illegal? It's like if I come and put a rope around your neck and hang you. That's not a legal hanging.
That's not anything like the same thing. If the government makes a law,
yes,
then it would
yes,
be legal.
It is. So give,
this
so
isn't,
give me
can
an
you
example,
mute him? He's
Bonnie.
Just sounding retarded. So it's not the same thing as a sit-in for being black and sitting at wanting to sit at a whites only counter.
I'm
because
not sure.
Ian, because it was always like that. They weren't changing. They were changing the way society was. This is something totally different. This is this
well, no,
new
the Jim
thing
Crow
that comes
laws
out.
Were forcing people to discriminate, so you didn't have the choice.
Yeah.
But there's
so
already
this is
white
actually very
only.
Similar.
It's not. It isn't. It's not the same thing.
It's not identical. It's. You know what? You know the one thing I think that makes it different is that. Being black is not a choice.
That's
whereas
a
wearing
thing.
A mask is usually a choice, but not always. You know, with the exception of people who are disabled. Which then
but this isn't about masks. This is about vaccinations.
Which is also a choice. And I'm not saying, oh, it's a choice, and that means you should be discriminated against if you make the choice the government doesn't want you to. But I don't want to.
It's a difference, but I don't. Think
I don't
want to key difference.
It could
put down
be.
The fact that it's a choice because it's my choice.
And
like,
it's a coerced choice.
You may not be able
it's
to.
It's not a coerced choice.
Yes, it is. This is coercion. They're using coercion on these businesses, and they're using coercion on these individuals. They're not
the
breaking your
you
arm.
The fact that you don't have a vaccine is that a coerced choice?
They are not breaking your arm yet. Okay, they're not going to put you in a prison cell because you didn't get the vaccine, but they're essentially limiting your options in society. And as the caller earlier...
Still restricting your freedom.
Or as your article earlier, Bonnie, pointed out, they're making it so difficult for people to live, not so much in Keene, New Hampshire, but in places like Germany, in places like Austria, where you cannot leave your house... Unless you get their shot.
Basically,
you cannot go to the grocery store unless you get their shot. So that's coercion at that point. It's more than just a suggestion. It's more than just a request.
Well, it's not to that point here yet. But
in New York City, it's to that point.
To where you can't go to the Cheesecake Factory without getting... Yeah, but you still have the choice to leave.
Well,
it's a lot harder to leave.
I think, you know,
if you were black, you could have left the South, too.
So it was like that in... It was still racist up here, too. That's
no,
the thing,
it
but
wasn't.
Society
not
was
in,
racist.
It might have been racist in society, but you could. There was no Jim Crow laws in the North that I'm aware of. I'm going to bring David back
so,
on here.
So you think it would have been just easy to go to the North and go to, you know, a business owned by white people who were just racist, and it wouldn't
no,
have been
I'm
the same thing.
You
they
should
were trying
go
to
a
change the entire
owned by
society.
A racist. I'm telling you that you could go up to the North
where
and not
most
have
people
Jim
were
Crow
white,
laws.
Most business owners were just white racist. It's not
I don't
like
know
the South
true,
is racist.
I don't think you can say that most business owners in the North were racist. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything you said because when you muted me, I muted you. But, Bonnie, it is exactly the same thing. They're just standing on different laws. In the case of the N-word sitting at Woolworth's lunch counter, they're standing on the 14th Amendment. And in the case of
he's just trying to be insulting and he's being
I'll let
an
him finish
asshole.
His point. Go ahead, David.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Fast. Go ahead.
And in the case of the people in New York City, they are standing on a slightly different set of law, but they are standing indeed on law. So the two cases are hello.
Thank you for the call.
They're
David.
Not standing on law. It's just not true. Like they should leave New York City because they've made
should
a crappy
should
law.
They, should the blacks have left Mississippi?
Yeah,
or
so
North
you're
Carolina?
Not you're not for people moving to a place that's more like what they,
I am in favor of that, but that I don't think people should have to necessarily. There's more coming up here. Thank you, David. And I think he's making a strong argument that there's a lot of similarities here. But let's get into the sit-ins here.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
You USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Biden administration has a new strategy to keep children in the classroom using increased COVID-19 testing. In the face of many school districts going virtual to avoid spreading the Omicron variant, the move will use a test-to-stay approach. Previously, unvaccinated students who had close contact with a peer who was COVID-19 positive were required to quarantine. The defense for Kim Potter, the ex-Minnesota police officer charged with manslaughter, rest. Potter claims she meant to use her taser on Dante Wright during a traffic stop earlier this year, but accidentally grabbed her gun and shot him instead when he resisted arrest. While testifying, Potter broke down on the stand.
I was very distraught. I just shot somebody. I've never done that.
USA Radio News. Schools are taking precautions over a TikTok violence threat.
The social media platform President Trump tried to ban from the United States is now responsible for school closures and heightened alerts across the United States. President Trump in the summer of 2020.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options. But a lot of things are happening, so we'll see what happens.
TikTokers are encouraging followers to make shooting and bomb threats against their schools today. TikTok is a monitored product of the communist Chinese government. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
77 are dead following powerful tornadoes in Kentucky. Governor Andy Beshear adding there's just one person missing. Beshear explaining Kentucky is going through a lot right now, but it isn't defeated or broken. President Biden visiting Kentucky on Wednesday and saying the feds will be there to help as long as needed. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here if you want to join us. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. What, if any, are there differences between what's happening now in New York City where people are getting arrested for attempting to go and sit down and eat at places like Cheesecake Factory and Applebee's? We had two groups of people getting arrested just this week in New York City. Now, of course, as you know, they are mandating vaccine passports in order to go indoors and eat. And, of course, it's getting pretty cold out there, so I suspect not many people are eating outdoors at this point. And some people decided they're going to go ahead and put their freedom on the line and risk it, and they're getting arrested for criminal trespass in the case of the Cheesecake Factory. But it did, some of the people who were getting arrested were calling out the police as Nazis, and I agree. And they were citing the sit-ins from the civil rights movement. I just not knowing a whole lot about the sit-ins, I wanted to do a little bit of looking into it, like what, if anything, was the difference between those situations. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris. So here's just a little bit of history from the website civilrightstrail.com. And it's a website that talks in various different aspects of the civil rights movement. And they this is an article about the actual sit-ins. It's called Sitting Down to Take a Stand. And according to the story here, they give an example of a classic location, the lunch counter of Woolworth's department store. Now, have you ever seen a Woolworth's, Bonnie?
No, have you?
I have.
Yeah, I thought they were from, like, the 1800s.
I was going to say, were they even around when she...
When I was growing up in Florida, there was a Woolworth's at one of the malls.
No, but I know it's like a Sears.
Yeah, it was a department store. Pretty big chain of them. Very,
but they're
very
not around anymore, right?
Not in the United States, but actually when I was
Mexico.
In Acapulco, they have Woolworths down there. Yeah. Like a big Woolworths was in Acapulco. Anyway, the sit-in at the counter of the Woolworths in Greensboro, North Carolina, on February 1st, 1960, was the impetus for a larger sit-in movement that spread across the country. Four black students from a agricultural and technical College of North Carolina, Joseph McNeil, Franklin McCain, Isel Blair Jr., and David Richmond sat down at the lunch counter inside the store and were refused service when they each asked for a cup of coffee. Even though they were not served, the four men stayed at the counter until the store closed that night. The next day, the sit-in grew to include more than 20 participants, including women from a neighboring Bennett College. The students were harassed and heckled by white patrons, but they remained at the counter and did not fight back. The following day, more than 60 people joined the sit-in, and local newspapers and news stations came to Woolworths to report the event. On February 4th, more than 300 students participated in the sit-in, which expanded to the lunch counter at Cress, a nearby store. Now, that's interesting, and I guess that is one key difference here, is I don't think you're going to see, you know, if it were six people that were arrested at the Cheesecake Factory on Tuesday night, I don't think you're going to see 12 people showing up Wednesday night or 24 people showing
Probably
up
not.
Tuesday night or 100 people showing up tonight.
You know, that sounds like it was a planned thing, right? It sounds strategic.
You're talking about in North Carolina?
Yeah. I don't know if that was the case or not, mm-hmm. but it sounds very strategic where they kind of kept doubling it every day.
Yeah.
Because that sounds more of a message, you know, that starts to get news.
That's going
to
get headlines.
Right. As opposed to doing it, you know, six people doing it. If you don't have a plan for what's going to happen the next day and the day after, you know, it begins to not get as interesting of a story out of it.
Well, and this goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about doing civil disobedience
right.
and knowing what law you're likely going to
right,
break,
right.
what you're likely going to be charged with, what
are you
going to face.
Get out of it. That's
having,
the question.
And, like, doing things like having an attorney in advance, you know, contacting
That's
your attorney
a smart
and
thing.
Saying, hey, I'm planning on doing this. What do you think? Would you be willing to represent me? Retain the attorney before you even go to the thing.
You got to be careful because you got to be careful about how you do that, though, because the lawyer can't advise you
to break the law.
Yeah, they can't advise you, like, on law breaking. They can advise you about the law, but if you tell them...
They can
them,
advise you on what is likely to happen.
Yes, yeah, but if you tell them you're going to break the law, they might not be able to advise you at that point. So you kind of got to be a little bit careful on how you word things to the lawyer.
Yeah. Students in other North Carolina cities, including Winston-Salem, Durham, Raleigh, and Charlotte, also organized their own sit-ins in segregated businesses, and the movement spread to other states, such as Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Mississippi. In locations where sit-ins were taking place, segregated businesses were losing money. Woolworths in Greensboro lost a reported $200,000 due to the boycotts, and on July 25th in 1960, so a few months after they started them, the store manager decided to desegregate the store. So it makes it sound like maybe they weren't being forced to do segregation in Greensboro if they were, you know, if the store manager just made the decision to change policy. Were they under a Jim Crow law in that particular case? I'd like to know more about what sort of threats he might have been facing from the government. He requested that four of his black employees change out of their uniforms and order at the counter. That day, the four employees became the first black customers to be served at any Woolworths lunch counter.
Yeah, this was 10 years after Jim Crow laws. Jim Crow laws ended in 1950.
Okay, so that's a difference then, right? So the sit-ins, if the Jim Crow ended in 1950, sit-ins were targeting businesses with policies.
Yeah, 1950.
Whereas what these guys were doing in New York City is targeting businesses who are under the control of the state and are enforcing state, or in this case, city law, city ordinances. So that's a key difference right there. Now, does that actually make what they were doing in New York City even more sort of, I don't know, important?
I don't know. I think it's more similar, at least, right?
Well, again, the sit-ins were just protesting policy at the businesses, not the government
That's
law.
That's why I was wondering, why weren't they getting arrested for sitting in?
I thought they were, it was an ordinance.
No.
Oh, it was not an ordinance.
No, that's what she just said. Jim Crow laws were gotten rid of a decade before the sit-in movement. So they were just going, Woolworths was just segregating.
Gotcha.
On their own
policy.
Volition,
right.
As store policy.
Hmm.
Now, that wouldn't stop them from getting people arrested. In fact, there are other situations where people did get arrested.
And is that because they could tell them to leave and then at that point they're getting trespassed?
Sit-ins were taking root in South Carolina in 1960 as well. Students organized at the segregated lunch counter of Cress in Orangeburg's business district. The action sparked multiple boycotts of segregated businesses in town. A group of 1,000 students gathered to protest segregation in Orangeburg businesses, and when they refused to disperse upon the police chief's order, police officers and firemen attacked them with fire hoses and tear gas. Protesters continued to act peacefully, but they were pinned against walls and pushed to the ground. For quote-unquote breaching the peace, 388 students were arrested, and 341 were eventually convicted and fined $50 each, although none of them ended up paying the fine because all of them appealed. Their defense attorney, NAACP attorney Matthew Perry, was briefly jailed for his defense of the students.
Wow.
South Carolina State University President Benner C. Turner threatened expulsion from the school for any students who continued demonstrating against segregation, but the sit-ins continued at Cress. Racial tensions remained high throughout the 60s, and in 1968, hostility boiled over into violence at several incidents at All-Star Bowling Lanes, whose owner refused to desegregate. When 200 students gathered on the South Carolina State University campus to protest unequal treatment at the bowling alley, the South Carolina Highway Patrol fired into the crowd of demonstrators, killing 3 students and injuring 27 people.
Wow.
So basically a massacre on behalf of the state government there. So, given that the sit-ins were against business policy and not government mandates, and now you've got people getting arrested protesting government mandates in a very similar manner, I have to say this is very similar to the sit-ins. It's different in that, you know, it's a choice for the businesses in the sit-ins versus it's not a choice now. But it's interesting. It's hard for me to really express which one is more. I don't know if one's more important than the other. I mean, I wish these guys the best. I do agree with you, Bonnie. They should just get the F out of New York City.
I mean, the tactics are certainly the same.
Very similar tactics.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look. Why would you want to stay in New York City? I mean, I know the theater's good and the food's good or whatever. You know, you like the big
city. But then you're just eating at Cheesecake Factory and Applebee's, so it's not really the food quality.
That's a good point. You can go there. You can go to Cheesecake Factory anywhere. More coming up. It's free.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Open phones. If you want to join us in the remaining moments here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You want to weigh in on the Cheesecake Factory arrests and also Applebee's in New York City. Groups of people being arrested by New York police for violating not the requirement to have a vaccine permit or vaccine passport in order to go out to eat, but because of quote-unquote criminal trespass. Because if you don't have the vaccine passport, then the business is going to tell you to leave. And if you don't leave, then they're going to call the police, and then you get charged for criminal trespass. So that's what happened there. But is it similar to the situation with the sit-ins in the 1960s? Yeah, it's very similar to that, although the key difference being in the 60s, as you pointed out, I think you said this off the air, Bonnie, you said that in the 60s they were trying to change society, which was because Jim Crow laws had already been gotten rid of, so these were businesses being run by racists or people who thought it was somehow good for them to discriminate, and so they were. And so the sit-ins were intending to change their policies, to change and end that discrimination policy.
Yeah, and it's a misunderstanding that people think that in the North there was just no racism, and in the South there was racism.
I don't think people should have just left the South. I don't think people think there was no racism in the North, but it definitely does not have the same historical significance as far as it being a racist place to live. That's
about
not to say
quotes
it didn't
by
exist.
Abraham Lincoln saying that he doesn't want the slaves to be free because they would take away cheap labor jobs from whites in the North.
Oh, yeah. He was a piece of garbage. No doubt about it.
He was elected by the people of the United States, all of them.
But, you know, people, the old story is when there was the Underground Railroad, they were ferreting, you know, escaped slaves to the North because it was generally considered to be a better place.
But then now we're past slavery, and there's still...
Are we, though?
I'm talking about during the sit-ins. We're past slavery.
Yeah.
And even Black Wall Street was past slavery, but it was in the 1920s, and that got burned down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there was just some place where you could go, and it would be like 2020.
Yeah, there's no easy answer. No doubt about it. But I do think that you would be moving out of a if you made an effort to do something like we're doing now with the Free State Project, it would have made a difference. I mean, just having large numbers of people together in a similar area helps. And that's why the sit-ins were successful.
Got burned down.
Well, that's why the sit-ins were successful, right? Because they had numbers. It wasn't just six dudes going into a cheesecake factory. It was dozens and then hundreds of people showing up at these businesses. And that's how you change things, right? You have to show them, you have to hit them where it hurts. And as they were saying, the Woolworths was losing $200,000 because, you know, if you just want to go get, you know, some breakfast at Woolworths, sit at the lunch counter and have yourself a breakfast, but you can't get in because there's, a, you know, 500 people standing outside protesting, you're going to go down the street to Denny's or whatever, right? Like, you're not going to go eat there. So it's going to hurt their business having these protests outside. But that's one of the differences, is they were trying to change society there, and now these guys are trying to...
Here's another difference. The people working at this cheesecake factory, I believe that they're you know, wrong, and I believe that the law is wrong, and they're cowards. But this is what's going through their head. These people can just take out. These people can go home and cook their own food.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have no other choice of existence in 2021 being unvaccinated. But when you're black in the 1950s or 1960s...
They had other choices.
You have a lot less choice.
Yeah, but they had other choices, too, back then. They could have gone...
Are we talking about during Jim Crow, or are we talking about...
No, we're talking about the 60s, after Crow.
After Jim Crow.
So they had other choices, but they specifically wanted to get Woolworths to change their policy. And in this case, they can't get Cheesecake Factory to change their policy because they're a corporation. So ultimately, that's the key difference here, is they're protesting today.
They could take out food, though. And I'm not saying that that's right. I'm not saying you're acting like I'm arguing that it's right. You're just trying to make it sound like the exact same thing, and it's not.
I'm not saying it's the exact same thing. I'm saying the key difference is they're protesting the government mandate today, which they weren't protesting in the 1960s. Cheesecake Factory cannot change its policy because they're a cowardly corporation. No amount of people protesting outside of Cheesecake Factory is going to get the Cheesecake Factory corporate CEO to say, "You guys are right. The New York City City Council is wrong. We're going to go ahead and start letting everybody in here." Because you can see that'll happen on an individual level.
Like, you're saying it's not their choice in this situation.
Well, it is their choice, but they're a cowardly corporation.
Because they're complying with the law.
Because that's what corporations do, right?
Like, they comply with the law,
mega
right.
Mega corporations, yeah. They comply with the law because they signed up for it, right? Like, when they signed up for a corporation, they said, "You can tell us to do whatever you want us to do, and we'll do it." Unlike local business, heroic local business owners, like the lady that owns the Fun Noodle Place here in town, she has a corporation in that it's, you know, every business is incorporated to some extent. Hmm. But she's not some sort of mega corporation or whatever. She's the decider. She's not some manager. She's the owner of that business. And if she says, anyone can wear a, you know, not wear a mask in my business, I'm not going to force my employees, I'm not going to force my customers, and she goes against the government mandate, then that's a decision she can easily make because she has that flexibility. Companies like Cheesecake Factory, you're never going to see them standing up for their customers like
so,
this.
Okay, so part of the reason, and here's the thing I think it's important to actually be aware of, it depends on what is it the charter? I think it's the charter, yeah. What the charter says for a corporation, and usually if you want investment in that, in your corporation, if you want people to invest in your corporation, you have to have something where in that charter is the objective, your objective is basically solely to make money. Like, that's your objective, right?
Right.
You don't necessarily have to have that in your corporate charter, but you won't get investors. So, in some sense, that is the difference between, a large company, that's on the stock exchange, and a business that there's a sole owner or something of our family owned business. You don't necessarily have to have that in your charter because it's not on the stock exchange.
Right. Let's go to Tom. He's in Baltimore. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Just real quick, it came up when I was on hold. No, we are not past slavery. We're a nation of economic slaves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The reason I called was about the lunch counter argument. I caught part of it. I know someone had called, I believe a fellow from New Mexico, and made the argument that it was very similar to the African Americans, blacks, who had issues with service
mm-hmm.
Back in the 60s. Someone retorted that it was a ridiculous argument because you can't choose your skin color. I would just put this out there for your consideration relative to what the New Mexican gentleman was saying. He might not be that far off. I don't think it's that outrageous of an argument due to the fact that there are some people who cannot help that they have a respiratory issue. So, therefore, if they can't wear a mask for medical reasons, that's something they can't help. And should they be refused service? Now, the same would apply with the vaccines. The manufacturers of the vaccines will tell you that certain people who are allergic to certain ingredients within the vaccine should not get it. That's right out there in their own literature. Now, that's something that the individual who's allergic to that particular ingredient can't help either. Again, should they be refused service? I'm not drawing any conclusions here. Like I said, I just wanted to throw that out there for your consideration.
But consider that New York City is a very small place when you're thinking of the entire United States, and you could just go somewhere else. In fact, if you're in New York City, like, it's very easy to go to Long Island, where you don't have to have a vaccination passport to eat
somewhere. Not yet.
Well,
sure,
right now you don't.
Would that have flown with the lunch counter at Woolworth with the blacks in the 60s?
What is that supposed to mean? It was like that in, like, at least the whole South. A lot of people are claiming it wasn't like that in the North.
Again, I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I don't think that that would have been an acceptable
I'm not saying that it's really okay that this is happening. It's not. That's what people are kind of twisting my argument into. I'm just saying it's not the exact same thing. You don't wake up. You're not born and you're like, I'm a non-vaccinated and I'm a vaccinated. I think people are being ridiculous about this, and I think they'll get over it.
Right. Oh, no. I wasn't saying that you were wrong in what you were positing as your side of the argument. Like, again, I'm not drawing any conclusions, not even about what happened in the 60s. I might even debate the whole idea of forced integration. But like I said, I just wanted to throw those
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate your call tonight. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I think that determining right and wrong in this situation is very difficult as far as, you know, Cheesecake Factory, they're wrong for enforcing the government mandates, but you understand why they're doing it, because they're afraid. I mean, it's certainly wrong to have the mandates. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know if I agree with Bonnie that it's just going to get blown over someday. I think they're in for a penny, in for a pound on this stuff, and it's only going to get worse with the restrictions. I hope I'm wrong about that. We'll see you tomorrow night.
It certainly seems more like that now than before.
Yeah. First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product
project I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.